All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. The Apostle Paul has set forth the absolute necessity of love, charity. And now, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, he's going to declare the manifestation of that God-given love. I was sitting here thinking, just as we were singing that last song, there has only been one who has ever loved thus. Only Christ. No one else can say, I've ever loved like this book describes love to be. Love is of God. God is love. So this description that we're about to consider, let me just go ahead and say what everybody's thinking. Only God can love like this. But I do know this, found within every believer is a desire. I want to love like this. I do. And let me tell you something else. One of these days, we shall. But until that time, I read these scriptures as we look at them together, and we think, oh, to love like that. I'd love to. Verse 4 says, charity suffereth long. Unlike the temporal gifts of the Holy Spirit, love is ever. Love is ever. Love is slow to be aroused to resentment, and love patiently bears the provocation from others. I was thinking about when the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the tree, and those people were wagging their heads. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let him come down. Let him call upon God. Let him save him if he will. But do you know that found within that group, and I know this because there's no prayer that's ever been prayed by the Lord Jesus Christ that the Father didn't grant. The Lord said, my Father heareth me always. He heareth me with desire. You heard me, but no. He hears him with love and hears him with compassion. He hears him. There were some people in that congregation or that group out there that was wagging their heads and railing on him that were sheep. And I know that because this is what he said. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't realize what they're doing. You think about before the Lord called us, any of us, out of darkness. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't realize the rebellion. We didn't realize the hatred and resentment we had toward him. But lit for him that would know those. Now, he's praying for his sheep. He's praying for only those in that group out there that God was going to save. I know that because of his high priestly prayer. Revelation 17:9. I pray for those that thou hast given me. That's John. I meant John. John 17:9. I pray not for the world. I pray for those that you've given me out of the world. For they are thine, and thou gavest them me. I pray for them. I don't pray for the world. He prayed only for those that the Father had given him. So when he said, Father, forgive them. Do you know what's going to happen? The Father's going to forgive them. Love suffers long. Not quick to assert its rights. You think hanging on that tree, he had the right to do whatever he wanted to do. But he gave himself. He made himself no reputation. I'm so arrogant, so proud, so haughty. Not him. Scripture declares, and is kind. It's not easily offended or given to wrath. It's kind. It's good-natured, tender, compassionate with the faults of others. I think about how he bore with his apostles. Now, these were apostles. And how many times they failed, they faltered. They heard the Lord. And look at the kindness. I'm thinking to myself, these are my brethren. These are brethren. They're just like me. They're just dust. Frail creatures of dust. I'm thinking, Marvin, settle down. Settle down. Love is kind, and it considers the weakness and the ignorance and the error and the infirmities of the children of God. Children loved of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, and love wants to bestow the best upon the objects of God's affection. Love, true love. If I love you, if you love me, we want the best. I do want to have you back. I don't want to talk about you. I don't want to browbeat you, run over here and tell somebody, you ain't gonna believe what they did. It's kind. It's considerate. Charity envieth not. It doesn't boil over inwardly. What it means. It's not moved with jealousy and zealousness against, is what it's saying. It envieth not. It doesn't look for something to stir up and get it going. Lord never did that. I don't want to. Charity vaunteth not itself, not puffed up. What does that mean? Not conceited. It's not arrogant, not proud. If I don't have your back, if I don't suffer long with you, if I'm not kind to you, you know what I'm really saying? I wish you were as spiritual as I was. I wish you could come up to my standing. Maybe one day you will. Maybe one day you'll get as spiritual as I am. Charity doesn't vaunt itself, doesn't puff itself up. I wish all of these lowlifes, the little people, would be like me. Love doesn't do that. No. No, let me ask you this. What do we have to be proud of? What do we have to be conceited about? Who maketh us to differ from another? Paul said, I've read this numerous times the last few weeks, Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, I'm telling you, the moment I say something, the moment I express something about you, one of my brethren, to somebody else, the moment I put it out there, you know what I've done? I puffed myself up. Hey, the rest of the world, y'all ain't going to believe what this one did. You're not going to believe it. Love vaunteth not itself, not puffed up. A man, a woman puffed up has a conceited and high opinion of himself, boastful, and they desire nothing. They want to have others look at them and say, boy, I tell you what, I sure do appreciate that information. Thank you, great bearer of filth. And that which slams the brethren. Oh, that I would realize how the Lord has loved me and been patient with me. How the Lord has kept me, directed me. Verse 5. Love, charity, doth not behave itself unseemly. What does that mean? Disgracefully. Love doesn't act in a way that is not gracious. It doesn't place a reproach upon. It doesn't do something that causes me or someone else to be ashamed. Love seeketh not her own rights, her own will. It's not easily provoked. It's not quick-tempered. It's not touchy. It's not resentful. And it's not easily offended. Man alive. Man, you're talking about somebody guilty on all points. I'm telling you, you say something to me, or I find out that you said something about me, and I do. I do. I mean, you know, somebody said, well, I'll never find out I said this. I did. I found out. Oh. Marvin, settle down. Love seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. It doesn't plan, it doesn't devise evil against another. It forgives. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm thinking, if there's ever a gift, Fred, that we all need, this is it. This is the greatest of all gifts. Can you imagine the ability, the possession of love? What about all these other gifts? Love. Verse 6, it rejoiceth not in iniquity. What does that mean? It doesn't rejoice when others fall or stumble. Now you think about this. Someone stumbles. And let me tell you the first thing we do. They got exactly what they deserved. I knew it was going to happen. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It's not glad when someone goes wrong. It never delights to point out evil in others and just broadcast it. I'm telling you, now you listen to me. The moment we broadcast it, the moment you put it out, the moment you say it, you've vaunted yourself. You puffed yourself up and you rejoice in their iniquity. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. Oh, really? Well, let's just look at each other then and then just realize, what about me? What have I done? What have I failed to do? It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but it rejoiceth in the truth. Now, there's a blessing. I truly do, as Peter said to the Lord, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. To rejoice in the truth is to rejoice in the Lord and to rejoice in the Lord's mercy and His grace toward us, to give us a heart to rejoice in Him and to be thankful for one another. Lord, our brethren, I've told you before, I'm so thankful to be able to be here. I'm thinking, here's a group of people that I'm convinced, there's some folks here that Almighty God's everlastingly loved. I believe that. He died for, loved them. Christ redeemed them. Spirit of God's called them out and kept them, robed them in the righteousness of Christ. I'm so thankful that I can be here with you. I'm here only by the grace of God. It rejoices in the truth. It rejoices in the virtue that Almighty God's bestowed upon others to give them faith to believe, to settle them down, and to be kind and considerate toward me. I rejoice that the truth, the Lord said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I'm thinking, I'm so glad God's given them long suffering toward me. Well, because I need somebody to be long suffering with me. Verse 7, concerning love, it beareth all things. Beareth. It bears in silence the troubles of others. It bears in silence. Do you know how hard it is for me to keep my mouth shut? My flesh, I want to tell you so badly. I want to share. I want to tell everybody. I want to. I'm thinking, Marvin, that old man has just reared its ugly head and shown you yourself again. Love beareth. How many things? All of them. All of them. It covers. Now this, that word beareth right there, that's a big word. It covers and conceals with silence all things in others concerning their falling, stumbling. Rather than gleefully disclosing them. I'm telling you, the moment you put it out, the moment you repeated it, and there ain't nobody here today that's guiltless. Oh, for the blessed righteousness of Christ that beareth all things and earned that righteousness that obeyed this word right here and then imputed it to me. In Christ, I bear all things. Oh, in my old man. And I'm telling you, here's the bad thing. I know better. You ever talked about somebody and you're thinking, why didn't I just shut up? Why didn't I just keep my mouth shut? Why didn't I just be quiet? Do you just, you like stirring up stuff? You like stirring up stuff among the brethren? No. Love believeth all things. It isn't suspicious, but readily gives credit to what men say in their defense. If someone tells me something, love doesn't say, I hear what you said, but I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. It believeth all things. It has faith. It puts the most favorable construction upon one situation. Someone gets in a situation and they're, you know, you look at it and you come to an immediate conclusion. I know what they're doing. And they will say to me, this is my situation. This is what happened. This is what happened. Someone said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. Love believeth all things. It puts the best twist, the best statement of faithfulness and love toward that brother or sister. It gives them the benefit of the doubt. Can I say it like that? Faith hopeth all things. It desires the best for. I do wish myself to have this desire. I want the best for you. I do. I want the best for you. I want to mean that. I want to mean it. Lord, forgive me when I don't, but I want to. Love endureth all things. It endures for the glory of God and for the good of the body. It endures trials and sorrows and disappointments and hurt feelings and offenses. Love sustains. Without complaint, the assaults and the persecutions of others. It knows that when others are cruel and unkind, and you're just cruel and unkind. If I just stop for just a second, and I'll think to myself, Marvin, you've done the same thing. You're just as cruel and unkind as the one you're accusing. You don't have anything to say. I was talking to a dear, dear brother here not too long ago about a situation that just so hurtful. It's just so hurtful. And he said, Marvin, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, the reason we go through trials like that is because we need them. I thought, yeah, I guess you're right. I need to be reminded of the sustaining grace of God and just wait upon Him. Charity verse 8 never faileth. Love is going to endure till the end of this world. But it ain't stopping there. It never faileth. You mean love's going to continue after this world is over? Love never faileth. It's just going to be perfected. We struggle now with this body of sin, longing to be free from the battle of this flesh that wars against our new mind. But one day, by the grace of God, we're going to be free from this. Free from this old body. We know then, perfectly. The Apostle Paul says, verse 8, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. All the prophecies of Scripture, when they've been completely fulfilled, then prophecies will be abolished. There won't be any more prophecies concerning what God's going to do when they're all completed. When all the tongues are going to cease. I believe that tongues have ceased, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not even going to remotely try to. I think they have. The scriptures have been written, and they're written in languages, and but I cannot without with the assurance of Scripture say that they have. But I tell you that they're going to be. I know this. They're going to be. I'll tell you why I feel that these tongues. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. There were signs that were given. Hebrews 2, 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. So, if they have been, then they have been. The Lord determines that, not me. But I know this, whether there be prophecies, they're going to fail. Tongues, they're going to cease. Whether there be knowledge, it's going to all, the knowledge that we now possess, the knowledge, whether there be knowledge, it is going to vanish away. Now, here's something I'm going to share with you that I feel that the Lord's given me some light on since I was studying this right here. On that last part right there, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The knowledge that we possess right now, that the Lord's been pleased to teach us some stuff concerning Himself, concerning us, concerning others. He's been pleased to give us, grant us some knowledge. So that knowledge, it's going to vanish away. What does that mean? That means that the knowledge that we now possess, that we have a clouded knowledge, a vague knowledge, and that's going to pass away. Well, Marvin, can you prove that? I think I can. Look at verse 9 and 10. For. Now, you know what that word means? Because. Because. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away because. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. That knowledge that we possess right now is going to vanish away because the knowledge that we have right now is obscure. We know it in part. We prophesy in part. When that which is in part shall be done away, when that which is perfect is come, when that which is complete and perfectly total is made to be seen. When the incomplete and imperfect will become void and superseded. When we behold with perfection. Imperfection is laid aside. And the Apostle Paul, under the Spirit of God, continues to explain more about what he's saying. Look at verse 11. I'm going to give an example. Now, we understand some things right now. We have some knowledge. But when that which is perfect is seen, when that which has been perfected to us, which I truly believe is in the second coming of Christ, when this old body is put off and we're that which is mortal is then immortal, and that which is imperfect is perfect. When this happens, then that which is in part, this knowledge that we have in part, that's going to vanish away. Well, what's going to happen? Well, he explains it. He says, all right, let me give an example. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought or I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, the believer right now in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been taught some things. But the Apostle Paul is saying there's coming a time when this time right here, the knowledge that we have right here, right now, is going to be like when we were children. When we were kids. And you watch a child. You listen to a child. I can remember my kids growing up. And I'd get on to. Gabe was the one I got on to the most. He deserved it. He deserved it. And I'd tell him, I said, Gabe, why did you do that? And this was his answer. For no reason. I'm thinking, what do you mean for no reason? Well, whatever that meant to him, evidently he justified it. And that's childish talk. That's talk without real understanding. You're not communicating with me. Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So right now, what we know, the knowledge we have, though it is wonderful, we walk by faith. When we don't walk anymore like children, spiritual children, when that which is perfect Whether that's dealing with the completion of the entire canon of Scripture, or more probably the return of our Lord and this body of flesh put off, then our understanding of Him is not going to be any more by faith. We're not going to talk like kids anymore. We got some knowledge, but we talk like kids, Paul said. You're talking like children. Children. But when that which is perfect, we're not going to talk anymore like kids, like children. By faith, we're going to see by sight. And then we'll speak in perfection. When that which is perfect, our imperfect knowledge, our weak faith, these temporal gifts and talents, viewed in the glorious light of perfection, it'd be like putting away childish things. We don't play with toys anymore. You find an adult sitting around playing with kids and acting like a kid, you say, you're acting like a kid. Grow up. Paul said that's what... Look at verse 12. He continues to prove it. He said, for now, because now we see through a glass darkly. We see in a riddle. Explain to me the glorious knowledge that we have of God's electing grace. Explain that to me perfectly. Explain to me absolutely being found in Christ. Explain that to me. Explain the Trinity. One God in three persons. Explain that to me. One God, three persons. Explain that to me. Explain to me the Lord Jesus Christ being made sin. Explain to me the Father forsaking Him. Explain all that to me. We see through a glass darkly. We see in a riddle. Oh, but then, face to face. We're going to see Him face to face. Now I know in part. I'm like a child. I don't understand. There's things I just don't understand. I want to understand, but I'm bound up in a body of flesh. Oh, but then shall I know even as also I'm known. Time is coming and we're going to not see anymore through a glass darkly. We're going to see no more by faith. Oh, as precious as faith is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But there's coming a time when faith is going to fail. Are you sure? Look at verse 13. Now abideth faith. Now abideth faith. One day, that faith is going to give place to sight. We won't be living by faith anymore in glory. What are you going to be living by? Sight. Face to face. Now abideth hope, expectation. But there's coming a time when that hope, that expectation is going to give way to fulfillment and accomplishment. There He is. There's the Lord. There's the Lord. No more in expectation. But, you know, there's the one that loved us, gave Himself for us. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. Oh, these three, but the greatest of these, because it's never going to fail. The greatest of these is love. Lord, teach us these things. Lord, sustain us as we, by children, walk through this world. Lord, looking unto You, waiting on You. Lord, thank You for Your long-suffering. Thank You for Your mercy. Lord, teach us to be so toward our brethren, for Christ's sake.